Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the service this morning. It is a good thing to be gathered together in the name of Christ in the praise and glory of God. Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge." Last week I mentioned that during August we're in the readings and in the message and looking at certain passages, but also as part of that touching on certain artists or things related to music, and this morning it's related to music. I'll be mentioning just a little bit about Johann Sebastian Bach. And last week I also mentioned that each opportunity to do a little interview with someone, and this morning, and thank you again, Marion, last week for that. This week it's all of you. Well, probably not all of you, because that would go a little bit too long, but there's opportunity for all of you, particularly around music. And so there's two things, two questions, that during our community time I'll be asking you to respond to, and I'll bring the mic around. So there's two questions. One is, what is it about music that touches your heart and moves your soul? What is it about music that has an impact on you? And secondly, is there a particular hymn or a particular song that especially speaks to you about your connection with God and Christian faith? What is it about music that impacts you? And secondly, is there a particular hymn or song that especially speaks to you about your connection with God? And there will just be a little bit of time to hear from you. And so that's the interview for this week, and next week will be different again. So as you think about that, we've already heard about the heavens declaring the glory of God, and then to read Psalm 150. "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and the lyre, praise him with tambourine and dancing, with the strings and the flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals, with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." We pray. Lord our God, we thank you for this day, and as we come together in your praise, we give you thanks, for you are a great and a mighty God, and all glory be to you. May what we offer to you now be acceptable in and through that which Christ offers for us, in whose name we pray. Amen. Psalm 150 encourages us to praise the Lord, and let's do that in song as we sing that first verse from Psalm 19, verse 1, "That the heavens declare the glory of God." We stand to sing. Thank you. There are those moments in life when we look around us and we join our voices to what we have just sung, that the heavens, the earth declares your glory. In the extraordinary creation that we see around us, but also in the acts of care that are done in your name that reflect something of your glory and is done for the glory of your name. And so, Lord, we give you praise and thanks, for you indeed are a mighty God. It's in the face of who you are and of your glory that we recognize who we are before you, that we're not the people that you've called us to be. We confess those times, Lord, that we have turned from you to seek after those things which have distracted us from your life-giving way, from the acceptance of your grace and the reassurance of your peace. Lord, you love us with an everlasting love, but we confess that we have loved neither you nor our neighbour as we should. You've called us to be your people, but we confess our struggle to follow that call decisively and fully. Break down all the barriers that we put up against your love. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within us. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says to us that God proves his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hear then God's word of grace to us. It is in Christ that we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby. We have our next hymn, which is Glory Be to God the Father, and you're probably starting to pick up a bit of a theme that's emerging here, and we'll stand to sing. Last verse.
Welcome to church, everyone, on this beautiful Sunday morning. Notices have been cycling through. David's not here on Wednesday. We had timetabled an outburst meeting for Wednesday. I'm a bit out of touch with public holidays and things in retirement. They sort of just blend into one another. So the outburst meeting will follow the church council meeting on Thursday. Fellowship is looking, women's fellowship on Monday is in the community centre, so bring your lunch, and it is focusing on glory. Nice segue. Other things that are mentioned on your news sheet are there, but I really want to just focus on Outburst at the moment. Outburst is in your reflections this week. A quick report on that is there. Those people that wish to approach a business, if you want, there is a letter here that you can take that talks about what Outburst is. And it's on the letterhead from the church, so to make it sort of more formal. You might also like to take a poster to them. They might wish to put up a poster. If not, they might wish to hand out the postcard. If you live in a complex, you might wish to pop one in everyone's letterbox, because that's nice and easy. If you walk, popping them in people's letterboxes, ensuring they don't go into no junk mail boxes. We're moving quite rapidly at the moment. Artists being artists tend to be a bit last minute. So I have 14 stall holders at the moment, four of whom have put in their paperwork, but the others, they'll get round to it. And we have five people who have asked to put paintings in the exhibition walk. So numbers are coming in. I met with Sarah from the kindy yesterday. The kindergarten is undertaking the high chair church, so all funds raised from that will go to the kindy. I just felt with Chelsea thinking that, you know, she's had a baby that's 2 days old, wasn't going to be able to do it this year. So, well, hopefully she'll have a baby that's 2 days old by then. So the kindy are very happy, a little nervous because Sarah said, I've never done anything like this before, and she said, I've never had a high tea, so I'm not quite sure what it is. We'll have to go to one. So I was able to tell her, well, Indrapilly, pig and whistle, do high teas. So that's all well under control as well. So thank you for everything that you can do to support Outburst beyond our congregation. I think that's all.
Yep, yep. Be fine. Just back one slide there, thanks, Rosemary, if you can. Next Sunday.
Oh, Andrew's coming up to talk about that.
Oh, is he?
Andrew. Yes. Okay, just as Andrew is doing that.
Come on up, Andrew. Outburst, so those little flyers here, I think there's a bunch of them available back there. Hand them around. And also particularly talk to people about Friday night coming along, and the charity that's being supported this year through Uniting Care is particularly connected to a project that supports women and children out of domestic violence, and very practical project. And that's something that you can talk to people about and say, look, Friday night particularly, we're supporting that, and that is probably something that people can hang their hat on at the moment and has done for ages, but certainly is very topical. And so I really encourage you to talk to people about that and to come along on Friday night. Thanks, Andrew. A couple more steps. The Mission Projects Board is being revamped at the moment. So if you're just wondering where everything's gone, don't sort of panic too much about that. It's a work in progress just to revamp it and just to work on some presentation there. So thanks,
Andrew. Thanks, David. I just want to quickly remind everyone that the congregational meeting next week after the service.
and that will include a presentation of the budget from Coralie. Please.
And a soup kitchen.
Okay. And a soup kitchen. So please come along next week, straight after the service. Thanks. Well, after charge.
I want to say a word of thanks to Joycelyn. Joycelyn provided some biscuits for our grief and loss group on Thursday afternoon that meets downstairs, and very kindly, I was going to say volunteered, but I dobbed her in really, so that's not really volunteering, but I'm so appreciative, Joycelyn, of what you did, and they were greatly appreciated, so thank you so much. There's some left over this morning, and I shall be racing you to them after the service. We can probably contact Women's Refuge, pick up shortly too. There's probably enough things there. And also, if someone, we've probably got enough things to go to either Emmanuel City Mission or Micah this week, if anyone wants to volunteer. Now, Wendy and Rob did that last time. Wendy's got one or two things on her mind at the moment, so probably might appreciate if someone else is able to do that. Would that be reasonable, Wendy?
Yeah, we don't
mind. Okay. So whoever's first to do that, that's great, and that would be much appreciated while the weather continues to be quite cool. I think that's it. So I want to head to a couple of these questions. Now, there's birthdays, I think, next week. We need to pick up on some birthdays. No, not this week, but next week. Yeah, I think so. So thinking about this week, we'll be looking, I'll be talking just a little bit. It's not about, as I said last week, it's not some art critique session, but I'll be talking a little bit about Johann Sebastian Bach, and this is all heading towards Artburst at the end of the month, okay? And so music is really important, and music is really important to us here at Kenmore. And so just again, these two questions that I posed earlier on. What is it about music that touches your heart or moves your soul? I'll run around with the mic here. So what is it about music that you appreciate? We might be, we're probably keen to get to Joycelyn's biscuits by the sound of it, but, Mark, good on you, Mark.
Music is like God's love language, and it originated in heaven when angels sung praises to God and continues for all eternity. It's just when the music comes down to earth and humans can misuse it and turn it into something that's not a blessing, but otherwise God intended it to be a blessing.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Any other thoughts about music? What about a particular hymn or a song that is important to you when it comes to God and faith?
certainly, I think my favourite hymn is 658, I, the Lord of the Sea and Sky. It just sings to me. I'm often in tears by the end of it, but again, that's how that one particular hymn moves me. I think it's a beautiful hymn.
Thanks, Wendy. And I guess just an example that I think I mentioned this before, that Christmas Eve, I find 5 minutes on Christmas Eve with a cup of tea to sit and listen, and I've done this for years, to Michael Crawford's version of O Holy Night. And it's just a moment amongst some of the craziness around that time of year to listen to this sublime performance of O Holy Night, and just an opportunity to connect again with what those moments are about around Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
I just like the hymn, Come As You Are, because it just means, you know, whatever happens, whatever mistakes you've made or whatever, that is, it's still okay.
Yes. Come as you are, that's how I want you, yes. Okay. Any final thoughts just before we continue on? Well, let's turn to the scripture readings for today, and there's two passages. First of all, from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then from 1 Peter chapter 4. And I can't remember. Oh, thanks, Rosemary. Good on you. Thank you.
The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31 to 11, verse 1. Well, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for God's glory. Live in such a way as to cause no trouble either to Jews or Gentiles or to the Church of God. Just do as I do. I try to please everyone in all that I own good, but of the good of all, so that they might be saved. Imitate me then, just as I imitate Christ. And the second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. The end of all things is near. You must be self-controlled and alert to be able to pray. Above everything, love one another earnestly, because love covers over many sins. Open your homes to each other without complaining. Each one, as a good manager of God's different gifts, must use for the good of others the special gift he has received from God. Those who preach must preach God's messengers. Those who serve must serve with the strength that God gives them, so that in all things praise may be given to God through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In all things that praise may be given through Jesus Christ. Our Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I shortly want to show a couple of very brief videos, but first of all, I want to start today by talking about next week, next Sunday. And next week, and you'll see in the little flyer that I've printed out, that next week I'll be mentioning about Lilias Trotter. And I only found out or heard about Lilias Trotter's story about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And she's not particularly well known, and that's actually part of her story that we'll hear next week. She should be really, really well known, but she's not. In preparation for that, probably this afternoon or tomorrow, I'm going to email out to you a YouTube link of a documentary about her called Many Beautiful Things. And I encourage you to watch that this week in preparation for next Sunday. If you don't have access to YouTube, let me know and I'll try and find a way for you to view that. But what would be really brilliant would be a few of you to get together and watch it together. It goes for about 1 hour and 10 minutes. But just a bit of a warning that it may be the most extraordinary, beautiful documentary that you see this year. It is, I was deeply, deeply moved when I watched this documentary. Now, part of the reason we're saying that is, so next week is the congregation meeting that we'll have after the service, and there'll be some things that, whether it be at the congregation meeting or over the next little while, again, as we have done over the last couple of years, to think about our future and what's happening and what we're about and those sorts of things. And a question that comes to my mind after I watched this documentary and heard something of her story is, on what basis do we make our decisions? on what basis do we make our decisions? I encourage you to watch this documentary and to answer that question after you watch it in regards to Lilias Trotter. On what basis does she make her decisions in life? And folks, it's an extraordinary story. As I said, if you don't have access, if you don't have YouTube, let me know and we'll try and find a way. That's next week. Okay. I'm just going to slip up there and just watch it, hopefully put on a couple of videos. That's a statue. What, tell us about that statue there, Rosemary. That's Bach, yes. Do you know where that is? Is that in, that'd be in Germany somewhere? Thanks, Rosemary. Nicola Slagers, who won silver medal at the women's high jump at the Commonwealth Games. Eleanor Patterson won the gold. And now I've talked about Nicola previously, but very overtly Christian and wants to give God glory for what she does and recognises that. And the second video there was Daniel Tufo, who plays for the Sydney Roosters in the NRL. That was on the occasion about a month ago, I suppose, on his 300th game for the Sydney Roosters, or Eastern Suburbs, for those who used to know them. And the first thing he does is recognises his Lord and Saviour Jesus and acknowledges that very openly. There are two verses in 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter that those two videos are examples of, and that is to give God glory. And in all that you do, to give God the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and particularly verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now the context here, and context is always important, but the context in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 here is about eating certain food. So that Paul's talking to the Corinthians here, and some of whom are concerned about food that's been dedicated in a temple. And sometimes that was sold in the marketplaces as well. And they're going, well, should we eat that or shouldn't? It's been dedicated to an idol. Should we eat that food? What? So he's given them some instructions about this. And basically he comes back to this. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But he goes on to say, but as you do that, don't cause anyone to stumble. Always in your actions and your attitudes, it's not about your needs, it's about the needs of your fellow believer. So whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God, but in your actions and your attitudes, don't make another fellow believer stumble. Even verse 33, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Do it all for the glory of God. And this is very similar to 1 Peter that these verses pick up on. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, bit later, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, so that God may be praised. So similar to that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Peter here is saying that while service is directed towards helping others, both within the Christian community, both within the church and more broadly into the wider community, that while service is directed there and to build up the church, its ultimate purpose, Peter says, its ultimate purpose of service is that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate purpose, that God may be glorified. So that here it is not only in our words that we're to glorify God, give praise to God, praise the Lord, that sort of thing. But also, and importantly, in our attitudes, our behaviours, and our actions, that all of which are to honour God. C.S. Lewis, I read again during the week his, he didn't always give sermons in the late 1930s, and it was called The Weight of Glory. And it's definitely worth a listen or a read. It might take a few times to read through it, and C.S. Lewis got quite profound at times and quite deep. But this is a sermon where he's particularly talking about glory and of ultimately connects it in with these passages about, particularly 1 Corinthians 10, that it's for the glory of God and all that we do. And at one point he talks about art and recognising and books and reading and of, I'll just read the quote and I'll say a few things. He says this, "The books or the music in which we thought the beauty was located will betray us if we trust to them. It was not in them, it only came through them. And what came through them was longing. These things, the beauty, the memory of our own past, are good images of what we really desire. But if they are mistaken for the thing itself, they turn into dumb idols, breaking the hearts of their worshippers. For they are not the thing in itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited." Now, it might take about 3 or 4 readings to go on, but in a sense he's saying that we admire the beauty of things, but he's suggesting is that they actually only point us to something further. They point us beyond ourselves to a beauty and a glory that comes from God. We see it around us, in something that we read or something, some music that we listen to, a piece of art that we admire. But C.S. Lewis is saying here, they are fantastic, but what they do is that they point us to a beauty. We see a beauty through them, ultimately to God, who is both the glorifier and the glorified, and who is glory himself, that they actually point us to God. So whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And that takes us to Johann Sebastian Bach. Just take a minute, folks, just to listen to a little bit of Bach. And of course, we hear a lot of Bach here, because the con students, when they come, inevitably there's some Bach. Jeremy Stafford was on his classic guitar here a few weeks ago at Music Lovers. The first piece he played was Bach. And click on that. Yeah, double click on there. Written by Johann Sebastian Bach, Air on the G String there, performed by a friend of ours, Liz Young, who I think some of you have probably heard at National Seniors. I think Liz has come and played at National Seniors a few times, but an extraordinary violinist she is. Spark was born in 1685 in this little town called Ifanak. I hope that's how you pronounce it. It's below the valley of the Wartburg Castle. And he was the youngest of a number of children, and by the age of 10, both of his parents had died, and he was looked after predominantly by his older brother, who was a musician, and particularly an organist, and so he was highly influenced by his older brother, and particularly in regards to music. And his older brother was a church organist, and ultimately Bach began to play and went to various schools, and ends up playing particularly on church organ, and he was known a lot at that time. And for example, as a 17, 18 year old, he's playing the church organ in various places, and he moves around to different localities and begins to write as well. And just to be able to say, I said to Jenny every now and then, but I so appreciate the postludes that she plays for us. And my guess is that some of you probably listen to that or watch it on YouTube. And Jenny, thank you for those pieces that you play at the end, particularly. And the organists and the musicians amongst us, thank you so much for what you do as well. If we look closely at Bach's manuscripts, they reveal something of his deep Christian conviction and can also encourage us to consider how we approach each and every day and every moment of our lives. And that's what I want to touch on briefly. Bach concludes all of his sacred compositions, and indeed many of his what we might call secular works, with the phrase Soli Deo Gloria. Okay, so let's test out our Latin here. Soli Deo Gloria. Soli, it means... Where's all our Latin students? Oh, okay. Soli, so what's that? Look, we can have a guess at this. So Gloria would mean, Gloria, apart from an amazing woman's name, Gloria means glory. Okay, Deo, God. Soli, S-O-L-I, alone. So Soli, Deo, Gloria, to God alone be glory. So Bach, pretty much all of his manuscripts, you'll either see those words or you'll see the letters SDG at the end of his compositions. Now, this was not unique to Bach. Other composers of his time did something similar. George Frederick Handel would do this. Handel, of course, wrote the extraordinary work Messiah. At the start of his compositions, sometimes, not always, but sometimes Bach would also write the letters JJ, which stood for Jesu, or Help Me Jesus. At the start, in a sense, he would have this prayer as he would begin his work on his compositions, this prayer to God to help him as he continued his work. And in doing that, and in these words or these letters, Soli Deo Gloria, Bach would conclude his compositions as well by putting those words or those letters. And in so doing, Bach affirmed that the aim and final end of all music should be done none other than for the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. His words not that far removed from the very first question of the Westminster Confession. Okay, so here's another. I didn't go so good with the Latin, but what about the Westminster Confession? Some of you know this, I know. The first question of the Westminster Confession is, what is our chief end? Yeah, a bit louder. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And this is pretty consistent with what Bach would put on his manuscripts. And there's one commentator has said that Bach, like Martin Luther before him, which was not, you know, they're sort of contemporaries in some ways, not that far apart from each other, like Martin Luther before him, understood that all of life can and should be lived for the glory of God alone. Okay. Now, not all of us are great great composers of concertos or cello suites or cantatas or sinfonias or passions or masses or oratorios or solo works for harpsichord and clavichord or organ. Or chamber and solo instrumental works for violin or flute or oboe, as did Bach. How did he find time to have 20 children? I don't know, when he was... I was talking to a friend of ours the other day who's a musician and particularly stringed instruments, and like Simon, just in awe of Bach, of just how much he produced. Just extraordinary, and the quality of what he produced. Now, we're not all great composers of those sorts of things, so what can we learn from this very simple yet profound act that Bach did? Well, one thing is to reflect on how we start and end our day. So just as Bach, at the start of his blank manuscript, when it was there, he would put JJ, Jesus help me. And as he concluded his work of composition with Soli Deo Gloria, we can learn from that as we begin and end our day. Our society often encourages us to glory in ourselves or to glory in humanity. And that's what I really love about those videos from Nicola and Daniel, that straight up it's about glory not to them, but to God. Okay, so often our society, it's the other way around. And so here's a much needed and healthy pointing away from this to rather recognize that all praise and honor and glory is to be directed to God, who's the giver of all good gifts, just as it says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 Peter 4. So in this act of Bach is an encouragement for us to do two simple acts of prayer each day. At the start of the day, to pray, O Lord, whatever it is that I will do this day, help me, Jesus. And at the close of each day, a simple prayer. O Lord, wherever it is that I have done this day that has brought credit to you, be the glory alone. I suspect that our days would take on a renewed perspective if we said these two heartfelt prayers each and every day, these prayers that Bach said. Help me, Jesus, and to you alone, O God, be glory. We pray. Lord, O God, help us as we come to this day, whatever it holds for us, whatever this week holds for us, help us, Jesus. And as this day draws to a close, O Lord, and as this week continues, help us in all that we do to do it for your glory, in the service of others, to point to you, in and through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. During the singing of all praise to our redeeming Lord, our offering will be received and we'll stand for the last verse. All praise to our redeeming Lord. We praise you, Lord God, creator of all. From you every good and perfect gift comes. We offer these gifts, Lord, for the work of your church and the care of your people throughout this community, this nation and the world. May all we offer to you be used to enrich and affirm life for the glory of your name. Amen. I'll lead us in our prayers for others this morning, and want to do this. I just encourage you, hopefully if you came in, you got a news sheet. I just encourage you just to pick that up for a moment, please. I'm going to very simply use prayers of the people, one of the prayers of the people from the Prayer Book for Australia, which is often used within the Anglican Church. So I'm just going to use one of their prayers of the people. But at one point, I'm going to pause and leave some time of quietness. And at that point, I encourage you to look at the prayer points in the news sheet, to pick one of those prayer points, to particularly focus your heart and mind on that point. It might be, for example, that if you see the Women's Refuge one there, that you just cast your eyes over to our donations, and encourage you to bring to mind people and faces of these prayer points in that moment, in some shape or form. And some of us are a kind of a visual people more than others, so that might be a bit easier than others. But during that time of quietness, just to focus your hearts and your prayers upon one of these things, and if you can bring to mind particular situations or people, and to offer that to the Lord in that moment. And just over the page is Brookfield State School and Brookfield Uniting Church as well. We pray. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ has promised that you hear us when we ask in faith. Please receive the prayers that we now offer. God, with your wisdom and power, the leaders of the nation, so that all may live in peace and mutual trust, sharing with justice the resources of the earth. Give the people of this land a spirit of unselfishness, compassion and fairness in public and prayer in private life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Send out the light and truth of your gospel and bring people everywhere to know and love you. Enable those who minister among us to commend your truth by their example and teaching. May we gladly receive and obey your word. We commend to your fatherly care, merciful God, all who are in sorrow, sickness, discouragement, or any other trouble. Give them patience and a firm trust in your goodness. Help those who care for them and bring us all into the joy of your salvation. Lord, in these few moments of quietness now, we focus our prayers upon those words and people that are before us in the news sheet, but in other ways as well. And in the quietness of our hearts, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, we praise you for all your servants whose lives have honoured Christ. Encourage us by their example so that we may run with perseverance the race that lies before us and share with them the fullness of joy in your kingdom. Hear us, Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. through this same Jesus who taught his followers the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we finished this morning with a huge note of glory as we sing this final hymn, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. We stand to sing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.